I surely do thank God for your presence here this morning, brethren. So good to look out and see you and know that you've come to the house of God and you're presenting your bodies living sacrifices and that you're ready to worship God. God bless us to do that. Would you turn, please, in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 2. I'm still on what we might call a Christmas theme today. I want to preach to you about the worship of the King of the Jews by the wise men, men that were wise and learned. Gentile men, if I understand it right, came a long, long distance to worship what was about a two-year-old child, is my understanding. But they came to worship, brethren, Messiah, God in the flesh. Makes sense when you put it like that. More sense. Title of the lesson is Wise Men Came. Chapter 2 of Matthew. God willing, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Matthew 2, 1 through 12, if I read it correctly, the Word of God. May we all hear the Word of God today, O brethren. O Lord God, bless the reading of your Word. Bless me to preach your Word. O God, give me insight, please. Give me thoughts from you by the Holy Spirit, that I might say what's right, that will glorify you and edify us all, students of the Word, that we might, as the brother prayed already, use it in our everyday lives that you give us. Get honor and glory, we pray, O God, in Jesus' name, amen. Wise men came. One of the frequently oft-repeated statements of the Christmas season is wise men still seek him. That one, along with the reason for the season. They're used a lot to try to point us to and keep us on task, keep our minds fixed on what we're doing in this season and hopefully what we did in this past Christmas season. Wise men came. Matthew records the visit of the wise men. He's the only gospel writer that does this, if I'm not mistaken. He gives us a wonderful account here. Many questions arise as I read this. Well, who were they? Where did they come from? How did they know? How did these Gentiles know to come? And just a lot of questions, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of answers in here. There's a lot of holy manna in here that we can feed on. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's where he was born, isn't it? We can read the history of Luke. Matthew tells us he was born in Bethlehem. There were two Bethlehems, at least two in that day, and this one is Bethlehem of Judea. In our responsive reading this morning, Micah calls it Bethlehem Ephratah. They both did. They're the same. They're the same. Bethlehem means house of bread. The living bread came down from heaven, born in Bethlehem. The bread of life. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the province of Judea, the area of Judea. It's where Jerusalem was, in the same geographical area. In the days of Herod the king. Herod was a family name. There were several Herods over these years. This Herod, outside reading tells me, had ruled about 30 years. He ruled for 35 years, and he was in the height of his power. He was a puppet king. Caesar had made him the king there. He was an Edomite. Esau is Edom. Jacob and Esau, the brothers. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. He was a descendant of Esau. At some point in history, the Edomites attacked Jacob and his side. They hated Israel because they looked way back to where Esau had gotten the birthright, another blessing, by trickery. And they held a grudge. This man was I don't grasp what he was in terms of Hebrew. He was a Hebrew. His ancestors were Hebrew, but he was not a religious man. In fact, he was crazy. He was mean and he was crazy. There was Herod the Great. That's who this is. Herod the Great. There was Herod Antipas, Herod Philip. There were several Herods. Herod was the family name. And it can be confusing. I like to, if I'm read the word and I see Herod in the New Testament, I've got a Bible dictionary that I look up Herod, and it'll list all the Herods and it'll tell you which one it was. This was Herod the Great. He put to death, he had 9 or 10 wives, I read in that Bible dictionary, and he put to death at least one of his wives just on a mere suspicion. Put to death some of his family. He was just a vicious man. And we see that he says to the wise men, you go find him and come back and tell me where he is. Right? He says that I may worship him. Sly fella, and a liar he was. And the last verse we read was, the wise men were warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Don't go back there, God told them. So they went home a different way. They dodged him. Wise men they were. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, dangerous times, brethren, dangerous times. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Wise men. Over the years, I've done a good bit of study on the wise men. Who were they? And always come up on it with a dead end. They were from the east of Judea to the east. If you go far enough, you come to Persia, modern day Iraq. You go into Gentile territory. It makes it very curious. Why would these Gentiles, why would they come to worship a Jew? Well, God has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. And they were learned men. I read this year. I don't know if I knew it already, but had read it, but I did some outside reading, and it said these men, they studied the stars, they studied science. They're called magi in certain places, short for magicians. Astrologers. I don't know exactly what they were, but we do know they were learned men, and they came from around Persia, Arabia area, east of the Hebrew land, and they came to worship they said in verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They came to Jerusalem. Why would they come to Jerusalem? Well, the Jews lived there. But a king, they had a sign, brethren, a star appeared to them. And they took it as a sign that this king had been born, this ruler had been born. One place I read, what I was about to tell you just a moment ago, that I had read this year, was that they may have had the writings, the prophecy of Daniel. These men came from the area of what prior had been Babylon. Babylon's gone now, but you know the Israelites went into Babylonian captivity, and Daniel was one of those Israelites, and he was a bright, bright man, and he walked with God, and God showed him many things. Showed him the handwriting on the wall. He read it for the king that had been getting drunk and partying, and brought the articles of the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had brought out of Israel to Babylon. He said, let's pour some wine in those and drink and have a big time. And the hand appeared on the wall writing, just a hand. Daniel came in and read the writing. All the astrologers and wise men of Babylon couldn't read it. And Daniel read it. He said, it says, you're weighed in the balances and you're found lacking. You're up here. You see, there are weightier things here. This is where you are, O king. And in Daniel, over in the latter chapters of Daniel, there are prophecies there of Daniel's the 70 weeks. And I want to tell you right now, I don't understand that stuff. I've read it not too long ago. Now, don't understand it, but it's part of it is a prophecy of the coming governor. King. And it said that some Bible scholars say that these learned men now in this day that we're reading about had those prophecies of Daniel. And they were studying them and they were looking for a sign. They knew that this governor was coming, this ruler was coming. And Daniel was a Hebrew and he's writing about that. And when they saw that star in the east, they came. We've seen his star in the east. They were in the east and they saw his star. And they went west, if I'm not mistaken. But they said, we've seen his star in the east where we were. Wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, verse 1. And they came saying, we've seen his star. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? So they went to Judea and Jerusalem because that's where the kings were. David, Solomon, the good ones and the bad ones. Some were in Samaria, but the kingdom was divided for a while, and many were in Jerusalem. David, that's where he reigned. He united the kingdom. So men looking for a king in Jewish territory would go to Jerusalem as opposed to some other place, because Jerusalem was probably what we would call the capital. It was the metropolis, big city. They arrived, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. That strikes me every time I read it, that these Gentile men would come so far to worship a Jewish king. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. That's Herod the Great, the crazy man, the mean, the menacing man. He was troubled. Why? Because he was afraid he's going to get usurped. Any king doesn't like to hear about another king in his territory. I read this. One man said, kings don't like to think of successors, much less competitors. You know the story of David and Absalom, you know, the father and son. Struggle with one another. Absalom tried to usurp his dad and did for a while. Herod was troubled. That's why he was troubled, brethren, and all Jerusalem with him. Why would the city of Jerusalem, why would its occupants be troubled? Different possibilities. One is people are comfortable in their religion, including me. And we don't like to get out of our comfort zone. And I want to do just enough, it seems like, so many times. We got it here. We do this. And we're very orderly. This is what we want to do. We don't want to do much more. We don't want to change the way things are going. The scribes and Pharisees had it down, and they had an order, and they had their authority, and they don't need a new king coming in. Messiah, he wants to come in on a great white horse and deliver us from the Romans. Okay, but we got it here. All Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he, Herod, demanded of them where Christ should be born. He was an Edomite. He was a puppet king. He had some Jewish blood in him. And he knew some of the Jewish religion, but he wasn't a religious man. So he called those who were religious, scribes, who studied the law and the history. He says, where's this king to be born? And of course, they knew the answer. They had the prophecy, Micah 5:2. I want to read that for you. They pointed him to the Old Testament prophet of Micah. They said, in Bethlehem, because Micah says, thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, you're in Judah, and you're little among the princes, the cities of Judah. You're just a little place. Yet, out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. I read this in preparing. It said, one person said, Bethlehem was not famous for the many thousands that lived there, but they were famous for the princes that came out of there. David came from there. Christ Jesus came from there. The one that's going to come forth unto me, that is going to be ruler in Israel, his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Couldn't say that about David. He's from of old a little bit. He'd lived a few hundred years before. But this one that's coming, from everlasting. In the beginning was the Word. The one who was in the beginning never had a beginning. He's always been. So they very, very plainly, very easily said to Herod the Great, oh, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. Then Herod, when he had privately called these wise men, inquired of them diligently, get this, what time the star appeared. He said, when was this? When did y'all see this star? He had an ulterior motive, didn't he? He says, okay, y'all came from over there in the east, and he knew where they came from. They probably told him. He knew. We don't know exactly. But he says, okay, when was that you saw the star? Because this child's been alive that long. Because the star was a sign that the baby had arrived. And I want to know, I'm going to get after him. I'm going to take his life. So how old is he right now? Herod, he called them aside privately, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And they told him, they must have told him 2 years ago, O king, approaching 2 years. And he sent them, verse 8, to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. What a devious deceiver he was. What a dastardly fellow he was. When was it y'all saw the star? When you find him, come tell me. I want to come worship him. Yeah. Well, let me see. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. When they went home a different way, they didn't go back and tell him anything. He sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And Matthew adds, that fulfilled a prophecy in Jeremiah. We'll read that, study that maybe some other time. You studied it on your own. Bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. Now, brethren, the star that they in the east saw that star, the star has gone away. It's no longer visible to them. And they've come to Jerusalem and they're asking different ones, where's the newborn king? Where is he? Probably here, because this is the capital. This is where the Jews' kings sit and reign. That's where their throne is. Where's the new king? Well, they got close, brethren. They got about 6 miles from him by coming to Jerusalem, because that's about the distance from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. And so they leave the king, and they really have no guidance at this point. They're going to Bethlehem. Bethlehem wasn't that big, but what are they going to do? Start knocking on doors. Where's the king? Where is he? Well, God knew that, and God provided a way. Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. What a blessed thing that is. And it went before them, it led them, brethren, till it came and stood over where the young child was. You see, brethren, the angels directed the shepherds to the infant Jesus in the manger. Now I think, roughly 2 years old. He's in Bethlehem. He's in a house. And the wise men need leadership, and the star appears. God sends the star again. The star which they saw in the east. They were in the east, and they saw it. And now it appears to them again. It directs them. A lot of conjecture about the star. Was it a meteor, a comet? What was it? The short answer is I do not know. But I know this. It doesn't matter whether I know if it was a star in the heavens of a meteor or a shooting star or whatever. What matters is, brethren, it was from God. It was the beautiful star of Bethlehem. And God put it there to lead these men. Whatever it was directing them. When Israel was in the wilderness, he led them, those thousands of men and women and children, he led them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud in the day. He led them. And when that moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. And these wise men, they had the wisdom, brethren, to follow that star. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Why wouldn't they? Because they're almost there now. And their journey is going to be made a lot easier. Their task of finding the newborn king, because just follow that star. Just follow that star. And it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 11. So they arrived. And when they were come into the house, you see there it's called a house, not a cave, a manger, not a stable. Apparently this is around 2 years later from the birth of the child, and Mary and Joseph now live in a house, although Joseph's not mentioned here, but he's with Mary, because they have to flee into Egypt for safety to protect the child. That's in verse 13. Joseph's in the picture. We're not told that he was present when the wise men showed up. And when they were come into the house, they saw. It's been impressed upon my heart this year about what people saw, what the shepherds saw and heard. They glorified God for what they'd seen. And old Simeon and Anna, they saw the baby and they glorified God. And now the wise men, they saw, verse 11, they saw the young child. Oh, to see the Christ, brethren, to see him and recognize him for who he is. And for us to see him through the eye of faith is a great, great, great blessing. Cannot overstate it. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And this is what they did. I've preached on this before to you all. I have notes here. I've underlined and I've circled. They did two things here. I read about them. I think they came to me by the leadership of the Spirit. But as I've done some outside reading, other Bible commentators have stressed this too. They did two things, brethren. They fell down and worshiped him. One writer said they presented their bodies to him, a living sacrifices. This morning in Bible study, the writer said one of our duties to God, it was on duties to government or Caesar and duties to God. And he said one of our duties to God is to present our bodies living sacrifices. And I was going to say that to you in this sermon. So when I read it in the Bible study, I said, well, that's God speaking to me, encouraging me. They presented their body. They first, brethren, presented themselves to the newborn king. Then, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. That's pretty, isn't it? One writer says this, the first thing we're to do is present ourselves to God, ourselves, our persons, our energy, our time, us. And then we're to present what we have to Him. Give up everything we have for Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, everything else will be taken care of. Now the gifts. I think of this, I learned about this several years ago, and I think about it every year. They presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I want to tell you, as a boy growing up, we had manger scenes at the church every year. We dressed up in bathrobes and towels, and we stood out there. One year we had a donkey out there, and we had shepherd's crooks. And I read this story, or somebody else, I mean, I read it on my own, and then, or somebody would read it. We'd have a Christmas program, and this would be read. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. That would just go in here and come out here. I could name the three gifts. I could name them. That's what they brought to Jesus. But that was as far as it went. I knew nothing about what I think now is the significance of those gifts. I think last year at this time I stood before you and I said, what does a 2-year-old need with frankincense or myrrh? Now gold might be a little different story. Gold, we can all use gold, can't we? In fact, it is said that gold brought by these wise men was probably used to finance the trip into Egypt. Joseph had to flee with Mary and the baby because the angel said, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Satan seeks, brethren, to destroy. He sought to destroy your Savior and my Savior. He seeks to destroy us. Clearly, Simon Peter says, your adversary, the devil, walketh to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And it is said that gold may have helped finance the trip. It paid expenses. The next is frankincense. Frankincense is incense. Incense in the Bible is burned by a priest in the temple, usually. And it represents an offering to God, a sweet-smelling savor to God. The prayers of the saints. That's what the incense represents. Well, a 2-year-old is not going to be active as a priest, but he's our great high priest, isn't he? In Hebrews, where we studied, we found that it says he is a priest. He is a priest forever. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This 2-year-old, brethren, frankincense was a very appropriate gift to give him because it pointed to his high priestly office. And I marvel that so many years I lived and I heard what the wise men brought, and I knew absolutely nothing about it except the word frankincense. But every year now, I rejoice in the fact that they brought him frankincense to point to the fact that he's our great high priest. He's my great high priest. And the last one, brethren, the last of the gifts was myrrh. Myrrh. What does a child, toddler need with myrrh? You know what myrrh was used for in that day? Embalming. Embalming. It points to death. Death. The last thing we want is our beloved toddler to, something happened to them, isn't it? But that wise man came and he presented myrrh. Because brethren, this newborn king was destined to, ordained to, appointed to die a horrible death on the cross in Jerusalem at Calvary, right outside the city. Gold, to help support him and help protect him and get him away from Herod. Frankincense to point to all of us and remind us that he's our great high priest, and myrrh that points to the fact that he's going to die for us. He's going to die. He's going to save his people from their sins. That's so significant now, isn't it? So many years I heard that read and read it and went right on. But that's a wonderful thing. Okay, in closing, brethren, in closing, have you seen his star? The wise men saw it and they rejoiced. Have you seen his star? Has the day star arisen in your hearts? If so, then, brethren, fall before him and worship him. Fall before him. Show your wisdom. Show that you're wise. Seek him. One of the commentators said, the wise men, they arrived in this metropolis of a city, and they announced that the newborn king is on the scene. And you know who went with them to Bethlehem? How many people? Zero. Out of all that booming metropolis in Jerusalem, the wise men finished up their journey of 5 or 6 miles right by themselves. There weren't teeming masses coming along following. Let's see the Messiah. Let's see him. I want to see him. I want to fall before him. I want to worship him. I've got things to give him. Oh no, they're by themselves. One writer said, tell you what, you worship God whether anybody else does or not. You worship him. Even if it's by yourself. And you won't be alone, but it may appear that way sometimes. When you find him, present yourself to him as a living sacrifice. Then anything you have, you will be willing to part with to honor and serve your king. I hope that's a good lesson. I hope it is. I hope it strengthens us for service. I hope it makes us thankful for what God's done. I hope we'll present our own bodies living sacrifices. And we'll be willing to part with anything. And we'll seek him whether anybody else does or not. Oh God, please bless the reading of your word and what I've tried to say. Let it be right in your sight, I beg, oh God. If not, correct me. Get honor and glory from it, oh God. And may we be strengthened for service and edified, we pray. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, the one who was born to die for us and did die and was buried and rose again the third day and is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, carrying out that priestly office for us. Amen.